Good evening. It's a pleasure to see all of you here once again. I hope that what I have prepared will be beneficial for all of us. Tonight I'd like to talk to you for a little while about overcomplicating our lives. Sometimes we do things, even things that seem like they will make our lives easier, but all they do is make everything more difficult. Tonight I'd like to look at a few of the ways that we can complicate our lives. And as we go through these things, I'll examine the way that we can also solve the problem and truly simplify. The first thing I'd like to look at is worry. One of the most common things that we tend to worry about is the future. Matthew chapter 6, 31 through 32 rebukes those who worry about the future. Matthew chapter 6, verses 31 through 32 says, "Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things." We as humans have a tendency to find almost everything that we could possibly worry about. Sometimes we even talk ourselves into worrying about things that we're not truly concerned about. We worry about food, we worry about money, and because we do this, because we're so busy thinking about these things that aren't truly important, we neglect God. The next verse of this chapter shows us what we should do instead of constantly worrying. Verse 33 says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Instead of worrying about the future, we need to prepare for the future. And what better way to prepare than to serve the Lord? By seeking God and thinking about him before our earthly desires, we are making the ultimate preparation for the immediate future and for eternity. When we seek God first, we can eliminate useless worry from our lives, thus simplifying our lives considerably. Another thing that we have a tendency to worry about is other people's behavior. And in doing this, we have a tendency to forget to tend our own. We find an example of this in Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. Luke chapter 10, 38 through 42 says, "Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her." Here we see Martha complaining about Mary's behavior. Because Mary had decided to sit and listen to Christ, Martha felt like she had to work much harder to pick up Mary's slack. Neither of these sisters' decisions were wrong. There was nothing wrong with serving the Lord. The problem started when Martha started comparing herself to Mary. And Martha got angry with Mary because Mary didn't make the decision that Martha thought was correct. Instead of being content serving the Lord, Martha complained about Mary's decision. We find an example of similar behavior in John chapter 21, verses 18 through 21. John 21, 18 through 21 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself, and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou should be old, thou should stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, Follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved, following, which also leaned on his breast at supper and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Peter was comparing his own circumstances to John's circumstances. He lost focus on his own duties, and he started worrying too much about John's duties. Jesus provides the simple answer to Peter's question and to Peter's problem in the very next verse, verse 22. It says, Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Jesus told Peter that John's lot in life was not Peter's problem. Jesus said, What is that to thee? Follow thou me. We can make the same mistake as Peter made. Sometimes when we're working with others, we like to look around us and examine other people's work ethic and critique them. While we're examining their work and worrying about their unfulfilled duties, many times we forget to examine our own work and to fulfill our own duties. Sometimes in the church, we're tempted to look around and see all the things that other people have left undone. Why does it matter what other people are doing or failing to do? Step in and help. Serve the Lord. Do all that you can do. Another thing that we tend to worry about is our appearance and what other people think about us. Matthew chapter 23, verses 5 through 7, explains the behavior of a group of people who tended to worry about these things far too much. Matthew chapter 23, verses 5 through 7 says, But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments, and love the uppermost rooms at feasts and the chief seats in the synagogues, and greetings in the markets, and to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi. This passage explains the behavior of the scribes and Pharisees, two self-righteous groups of religious officials. They worried far too much about their appearance and their public standing. It says, all their works they do for to be seen of men. They did the things that looked good to others. We can make the same mistake. We get in a situation with people that we don't know, perhaps at a new school, a new job, or even a new church congregation, and we want to look good. We try to fit in and go with the flow, acting in many different ways and putting on a different front in every different circumstance to make a good impression on everyone. God doesn't want us to be worrying about pleasing all mankind, but instead to please and serve Him. Matthew chapter 10, verse 22 shows us how we should behave. Matthew chapter 10, verse 22 says, And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. Men may hate us. They may hate us for what we do. We may not make a good impression. But that's not what matters. We need to stop focusing on our appearance and what other people think about us and start focusing on pleasing God instead of men. Another way that we tend to uselessly complicate our lives is by focusing on the things of the world. In Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verses 13 through 18, an incredibly wise man explains the truth about a worldly focus. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verses 13 through 18 says, And I gave my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. This sore travail hath God given to the sons of man to be exercised therewith. I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. That which is crooked cannot be made straight, and that which is wanting cannot be numbered. I communed with mine own heart, saying, Lo, I am come to great estate, and have gotten more wisdom than all they that have been before me in Jerusalem. Yea, my heart hath great experience of wisdom and knowledge. And I gave my heart to know wisdom, and to know madness and folly. I perceive that this also is vexation of spirit. For in much wisdom is much grief, and he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow. So many people struggle their entire lives for worldly knowledge, worldly pleasures, and worldly possessions. Solomon said that it was all useless. He had gained almost every worldly pleasure that there was to be had. But in this state of great wealth, he warns us, don't be deceived. It will only bring you sorrow. We think that these things will make us happy and carefree, but it will only bring us more trouble. Matthew chapter 13, verse 22, shows us what a focus on worldly things, it shows us that a focus on worldly things will hinder our productivity. Matthew chapter 13, verse 22 says, he also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. If we focus on the things of the world, we cannot be fruitful in the kingdom of God. We get it in our heads that we can strive for worldly things and rely on our riches and still serve the Lord. But we see here that our struggle for worldly things will make us unfruitful. Mark chapter 8, verse 36 explains how useless even the greatest physical possession would be for us. Mark chapter 8, verse 36 says, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Even gaining the entire world will not improve God's judgment on the last day. As we know, the earth will be burned up and everything on it. So what good will it do to gain earthly riches? It will gain us absolutely nothing. Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 20 advises us to gain heavenly riches instead of earthly riches. Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 20 says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Instead of gaining the things of the world that won't benefit us, we need to strive to gain heavenly riches. But what are these heavenly riches? Proverbs chapter 8, verses 10 through 11, tells us about a few of them. Proverbs chapter 8, verses 10 through 11 says, receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. God's instruction is far more valuable than silver. Knowledge of God's word is far better than the purest gold, and wisdom is better than rubies. When we study God's word and we continually gain from the wealth of knowledge that it holds, we will have true treasures, treasures that will translate into eternal blessings. Mark chapter 10, verse 21 shows us another way that we can lay up heavenly blessings. Mark chapter 10, verse 21 says, then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, one thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross, and follow me. Jesus told this man, do what's right, follow me, and you will have treasure in heaven. When we try to gain the things of the world, all we gain is sorrow. But when we search the Scriptures and we apply what we learn to our lives, we will have the true peace and ease that all people are striving to gain. This man's attachment to his earthly riches was holding him back. It was stopping his productivity. Christ told him to sell what he had and do God's will, and he would gain true, lasting treasures. Next, I'd like to look at a couple of ways that people try but fail to make their lives easier. One method is the use of alcohol or drugs. Some people use these addicting substances trying to forget their troubles, disable their conscience, and make their lives simpler. Proverbs chapter 23:29-30 explains that it will do the exact opposite. I'm going to be reading this passage from the New King James Version. Proverbs 23:29-30 says, "Who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has contentions? Who has complaints? Who has wounds without cause? Who has redness of eyes? Those who linger long at the wine. Those who go in search of mixed wine." This verse explains the side effects of intoxication, and none of them are appealing. Woe, sorrow, contentions, which means quarrels or strife, complaints, wounds, and redness of eyes. These are the things that drunkards will receive for their effort for simplicity and ease. They too will gain sorrow and strife instead of what they hope to gain. Romans chapter 6, verses 12-13 warns us not to yield to unrighteousness. Romans chapter 6, verses 12-13 says, "Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God." Instead of yielding to our lusts, whether we desire intoxication or some other sin, we need to practice self-control. We need to make sure that we're not allowing sin to reign over us and to influence our lifestyle. Instead, we need to yield ourselves to God, becoming His servants and making a lifelong commitment to do His will the rest of our lives. Another way that many try but fail to gain simplicity is laziness. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 18 shows us that instead of simplifying our lives, laziness will bring additional difficulties. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 18 says, "By much slothfulness the building decayeth, and through idleness of the hands the house droppeth through." Sometimes we watch people who were once active, they were once diligent, and then they fall into a pattern of laziness. They used to be productive, they used to exercise, and they used to have lots of hobbies. They were involved in different things, but now they don't. As this pattern continues, we watch their house get shabby. It needs a new coat of paint, and their lawn needs to be mowed. We notice that because of their lack of exercise, their health is steadily declining. Talents that they used to have are now not as finely honed as they were. Everything they once had is falling apart. Laziness can have the exact same effects on our spiritual lives. Because we've stopped taking the opportunities that we get to teach the Word, we've forgotten how to teach, or perhaps we don't even have the knowledge that we need to teach anymore. Because of a lack of study, scriptures that we used to know well, or maybe even have memorized, are now faded and forgotten. Laziness will make our lives fall apart. Romans chapter 12, verse 1, commands us to serve God wholeheartedly instead of being lazy servants. Romans chapter 12, and verse 1 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. This passage commands us to offer our lives and our efforts as a sacrifice to God. Serving Him with all our hearts, not holding anything back, is the least that we can do. Give God the service that He commands and deserves by diligently serving in His kingdom. In every part of our study tonight, we've looked at one of the ways that we can possibly complicate our lives, and the way that we can truly make our lives easier. Too often, people deceive themselves. They tell themselves Christianity is the hard way. They think that the way of the world is easy. The life on a perpetual high, the life of abundant wealth, the life seeking what they desire. On the surface, this view seems accurate. But when we look deeper, we can see that truthfully, it is false. For those who serve themselves and go the way worldly people tell them to, death is the ultimate blow, and there is no hope for a pleasant eternity. But for true Christians, death has no sting, and we have a hope for an eternal home of painless life with God. When we look at it in that light, which life seems better to you? The life of insecurity without hope, or the life of security because of hope? Which lifestyle will you choose tonight? The way that seems easy but ends in eternal death, or the way that seems difficult, but will end in an eternal life with God, with no pain, no sorrow, and no regrets. Make the right choice tonight while we stand and while we sing.